Well, greetings, everyone. I wanted to be with you today. This is Israel Hawkins, and I'm coming to you from the studio. Of course, all of you know where that studio is, and I wanted to be with you, but I also wanted to do some fasting and praying for the work and for our people, who I love dearly. I also wanted to catch up on the prophetic word programs, and this one will be put out too as a prophetic word program, because the subject that I want to speak about, of course, is one of the Savior's words that is being used and twisted and added to, and it's actually used to deceive the people, where the Savior said only believe. The Savior, when he was talking about believing, of course, he specified throughout the Holy Scriptures what you must believe. It's not just something, some empty phrase that, well, only believe. Believe what? Well, they try to get you to think that believe in the words of Jesus Christ. And of course, Jesus Christ, as any scholar knows, it's a false name that was used to replace the true Savior's name. The true Savior's name was Yahshua. And it means Yahweh will save his people from their sins. And Yahweh has a plan for saving his people from their sins. That way, of course, is to put his laws in their hearts. As the apostle who wrote the book of Hebrews, he says here in chapter 10, if you want to write this down and read it later or turn with me quickly to it, but he says in chapter 10 and verse 16, now this was written, the book of Hebrews was written after the Savior's death and after his resurrection and ascension into the heavens. The book of Hebrews was written much later, and as you can see here from the apostles, and of course the book of Revelations is written in 96, and the temple was destroyed in 70 CE. So you can see that these books, what they say here, if the Savior had have told the apostles that all you have to do is just believe and confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this doesn't make any sense when you get the history, because they took out the true name of the Savior, and the apostle said, if you believe and confess Yahshua, Messiah, well, what would you confess about him? He taught the laws of Yahweh strictly. He fulfilled the prophecies of Yahweh. And he said, you must believe all that the prophets have spoken. We'll read that in just a few minutes. But his apostles taught the same thing that he did. His apostles, the apostles of Yahshua, taught the same thing that Yahshua taught. Yahshua came showing the people their sins. As we see in John, if you have a King James Version, Yochanan, if you have a book of Yahweh, the Savior said that he exposed the sins of the people, and that's why they hated him. That's why they hate me too. On 6:13, they actually fulfilled a prophecy, not knowing it, called the house of Yahweh. Many of them did, including the news media, followaways, and so forth. They called for my death. There's a prophecy that actually states they would do that. And it was done on 6:13. I was called the next day by one of the priests and said, did you know that they were calling for your death? And I said, I never thought about it that way, but that's fulfilling prophecy. That's fulfilling one of the prophecies. Well, here in Hebrews, now, if you have a book of Yahweh or a King James Version, it don't make any difference. 10 and verse 16, it says, this is the covenant that I will renew with them after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Now, does that sound like the law is done away with? And this book was written long after the Savior died, was resurrected, and ascended to heaven to be the high priest, as you see in verse 21, having a high priest over the house of Yahweh. Of course, the name of the of Yahweh's work has always been the same. It's the house of Yahweh. And the house of Yahweh was never changed. And the people that ran or taught the laws of Yahweh, the holy prophets of Yahweh, they never changed that name. And they never changed keeping Yahweh's law. Well, the temple, you say, well, they weren't taught in the temple. The Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes, who are the Catholic Church today, in fact, they destroyed the temple with the Roman army. They became what they call the Holy Roman Empire. They moved the artifacts from that temple to Rome. They're the ones that started calling this the temple instead of calling it the house of Yahweh. We have proof. We have tithe receipts that date back to Solomon's day when the house of Yahweh, when the so-called temple was actually known as the house of Yahweh. And receipts was written from that temple saying this receipt from the house of Yahweh showing the tithe that this person paid. It's all in our book. You can get this information. All you have to do is call or write, and we'll be glad to send it to you. There's tons of evidence now that the name was House of Yahweh, that his name is Yahweh, that it was replaced by the scribes and Pharisees, as Yahshua said, hypocrites. And of course, that's what they are today. They're pretending to be righteous, but they're not righteous. Don't let any man deceive you. Why don't you write that down and read it for yourself? 1 John 3, verse 4, verse 7, and verse 8. Verse 7 says, let no man deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, but he who practices sin is the breaking of Yahweh's law. He who practices sin is of the devil. Now, where does that put the Catholics, the Pharisees, the scribes, the hypocrites, who would not keep Yahweh's laws? The scriptures plainly says, in fact, Yahshua said to them, to you, the law was given, that is to the 12 tribes, but you haven't kept the laws. He says the same thing to the Catholic Church today who sits on seven hills. They're a den of iniquity. They bring forth abominations and iniquity to all the earth. They brought forth profaneness, as Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah 23. They brought profaneness to all the world. And Yahweh says they're like Sodom and Gomorrah to him. Well, Sodom and Gomorrah was filled, of course, with Sodomites. And of course, this is what we see in the news. Now, can you believe the world's news? If so, then you will believe that there's many lawsuits by little children in orphanage homes owned and run by Catholic priests who are now suing because they were raped by sodomites. Well, of course, here we see in Hebrews, Yahweh says, talking to a group of people in the last days, and he says, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Well, of course, in Yochanan 15 and verse 22, the Savior was teaching the laws, and he said he exposed the people's sins. Sin is the breaking of the law, and that's why they hated him. That's the reason they hate the house of Yahweh today. But continue on here now, because he shows in verse 24 here, he says, now let us consider one another, how we may urge one another on towards righteous works, righteous works is according to the laws of Yahweh. Righteousness is keeping the laws of Yahweh. That's Yahweh's righteousness that He gives to you. That righteousness, get this, that righteousness shows you how to rejoice and counts you righteous for rejoicing. That righteous, those righteous laws of Yahweh shows you things that are unhealthy for you to eat. Now, this is things you should want to know. And then He rewards you. He rewards you by keeping those laws and avoiding those things that would make you unhealthy. He shows you how to prevent STDs, how to keep from causing STDs, how to keep from spreading STDs. He gives you the laws to keep STDs from being created in the first place by men and women and sodomites and people who practice bestiality. He shows you those laws, and then He rewards you by keeping laws that we should be oh so thankful to receive so we won't come down with AIDS or something worse. Yes, He rewards you how? In Revelation 22:14, blessed are those who keep His laws, that they might have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Yes, He actually rewards you for doing what is right, what you should be doing on your own. He rewards you with eternal life for doing that. And yet, the world had these beautiful, wonderful laws, and they didn't keep them. The 12 tribes. And now, what bothers me, of course, is seeing people fall away, because we have people come here and they think they're coming to a perfect place, but the others that are coming, you know, they're practicing, they're trying to practice to convert also. So it's not a perfect place. The house of Yahweh is not a perfect place at this time, but the most perfect people on the face of the earth are here practicing the laws of Yahweh. And that is a fact. The most loving, kind people on the face of the earth is here. Now, does that mean that they're always nice and polite and friendly? No, they have emotions too that they're trying to overcome, and they have their ups and down days, and they're under pressure because they're being tested, and they're trying so hard to pass these tests and to convert. Do they always have a smile on their face? Well, they're trying, and one day they're going to become perfect, and yes, always smiling, joyous, always smiling. And making everyone around them joyous at the same time. It is difficult, and it's difficult when you have trained someone for years and then you see them, and you know, you can see here in Hebrews that they're signing their death warrant because they don't want to keep the laws that would keep them healthy. They don't want to keep the laws that would bring them into contact with Yahweh and make them joyous, ever so joyous. So they turn back into the world. And the apostle here is cautioning these people. And he's saying, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together. Now, don't forsake this gathering. This is an appointment with Yahweh Himself. Every one of these feast days, including the Sabbath day, the Day of Atonement — the Day of Atonement is actually a feast day. We feast on Yahweh's words, of course, and on His love, His Holy Spirit here at the house of Yahweh. Not everyone. There's new people come all the time, and of course, they start practicing because they're baptized and they make their vows to Yahweh and they start practicing. What they don't understand, I believe, is that they come to the house of Yahweh to be tested. Now, they may be tested with somebody close to them, or they may be tested with somebody that they don't even know. And there might be a person here that is trying to pull people out of the house of Yahweh, that's trying to be hateful, trying to be unkind, unmerciful, making a fool out of themselves. We have people of all kinds here at the house, because they're coming in now from all directions and all walks of life. So, but we're fastly teaching them how to overcome and how to start practicing the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. We have the most joyous way on the face of the earth, but it will not work for those who refuse to study it and use it and put it to practice between themselves and their wife, or between them, the father and the children, or the mother and the children, or between associates. You know, it's easy to be kind to the mailman. You don't know him. You don't have to live with him. It's easy to be kind to the milkman. I say milkman. You know, I was born back in 1934, and they used to, at one time, people didn't have milk. They didn't have refrigerators, but you could get milk by just putting your name on the list at the grocery store, and milk would be delivered to you fresh every morning or twice a week or how often you wanted that milk delivered. They would bring it to your door, pick up the empty bottles, and the next day they'd bring you some more if you ordered it. So I say the milkman. You see the milkman for maybe a second or two as you give him your money for the milk once a week or once a month, or you may not even have to. You pay the grocery store for this many bottles of milk, and that's that was what you received. It's easy to be polite to a stranger. Where the difficulty comes is living with and tolerating another person and being sensitive to their needs. Their needs, their wants, their desires. But if their desires are the same as your desires are in keeping, in living by the Peaceful Solution Character Education, you can tolerate them. And then there comes a binding that takes place between you, one that's not broken easily. It's only when one deceives. And you know, we find this in the marriage vows. We have marriages that are given in the Holy Scriptures, vows, that is, laws guiding marriages. And we find out that somebody lied, that they weren't telling the truth about their virginity or about their life, their past life. We find that lies were told, and of course the law of Yahweh permits that person to be put away. And the person does not have to live with them unless they want to, unless they want to take a chance on the person. Bad character. But when two people, they have the laws here to go by, and both of them agree to follow those laws, but then one says, no, I don't want to follow these laws. I don't want these people telling me what to do. I don't want my counselors telling me what to do. Here is the upset. And of course, friction comes in between the man and the wife in this case. The one that decides, well, I'm going to follow Yahweh's laws whether you do or not, they stay. And of course, Yahshua said, blessed are those who lose, who give up father, sister, mother, brothers, or wife or husband. Blessed are those, for great is your reward in heaven. And of course, even their life, the apostles, if you are familiar with the history of their lives, they were willing to give up their life rather than to disobey Yahweh. Now, the Savior said you need to be willing to do that. He said, don't fear man who is able to take your body, kill your body, but fear Yahweh, who is able to destroy both body and soul. No, you don't have an immortal soul. This is another lie, and this is one of the things that shows that people really don't believe what Yahweh said. And they say, well, only believe. Well, believing that you do not have an immortal soul is part of believing the Scriptures. And the Savior said in Luke 24, verse 25, you're a fool if you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken. The prophet showed you that the body can be destroyed and the soul. In fact, let me turn to it quickly here, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time here on it, but let me turn to it quickly here. Here's one of the prophets that the Savior said in Luke 24, 25. Luke 24, 25, that you're a fool if you don't believe it. The prophet Yekiska, or if you have a King James Version, they have Ezekiel. Remember, they took out the name Yahweh and replaced it with titles of rabbis. Title, yes, these were titles of rabbis. Then they worshiped the rabbis, the dead rabbis, after they died, thinking that they died and went to heaven. Well, of course, that's a falsehood. You don't find anything like that in Scripture. The only one that ascended to heaven is the Savior himself. The rest of everybody else died and are buried. And as Ecclesiastes said, the living know that they will die. Well, not everyone believes that because they just don't believe. And the preachers run around saying, believe, they don't believe it either. They don't believe what the prophets have spoken, and they don't even know what it is to believe. They don't even know what they're supposed to believe. If they do know, then they're deliberate deceivers and hiding it. But the great prophet Ezekiel, if you have this, in the 18th chapter, says, behold, all souls are mine. All souls are mine. Just as the soul of the Father, so the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sins, it will die. In Revelations, talks about those who keep the laws of Yahweh are blessed because they won't be hurt by the second death. The second death is where they're cast into the lake of fire. That's in Revelations. It will be too late for me to help you at that time. I won't be able to stop it at that time. I'm trying now. I'm fasting for you. I'm praying for everyone that you will start believing the Scriptures. Here in Revelations, the Savior, again, doing the speaking here and showing a great white throne judgment and the end, which is very near, and this sentencing that is going to take place is very near. But he says in verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heavens, they were driven away, and there was found no place for them. The earth and the heavens, that is the present contaminated earth, and the defiled heavens, there was driven away, and there was no place found for them anymore. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Yahweh, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. According to their works. Well, what is your works? If it's breaking the laws of Yahweh, you belong to Satan. And burning is the only thing that's left for you. Satan can't save your life. Satan doesn't want to save any man's life. She hates mankind because she knows that mankind is going to be the enforcers of Yahweh's laws throughout all eternity. The guides, the teachers, the utmost in authority. So she hates them. But you're judged according to your works, not according to what you say, I believe. We'll see that in just a moment also by the other apostles. Now notice verse 13. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and Sheol, that's the grave. Here's where they're all being resurrected. Delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Death and Sheol were cast into the lake of fire. There'll be no more death after this. This is the second death. There's no resurrection after the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That's what you're facing right there, as we'll see also in Hebrews in just a moment. Now, who's written? Whose names are written in the book of life? Revelations 22, the very last book in your Bible. Revelations 22 is the last chapter in your Bible. And he says here, verse 12, "Behold, I come quickly." This is the Savior doing the speaking. "And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work will be. I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who keep his," that is the Father's, "laws, that they may have right to the tree of life." This is the Lamb's book of life, written in the Lamb's book of life. "Blessed are those that keep his laws, they have right to the tree of life." Look at verse 15. "For outside are all dogs." Dogs. Oh man, this is speaking, of course, of sodomites. "And sorcerers, those who practice medicine and pharmaceuticals and so forth. Whoremongers, murderers, God worshipers, fornicators, adulterers, all the things that the world is giving up, such beautiful laws that would keep them healthy, living abundantly, joyously. They give up the laws of Yahweh to practice these evil things. Well, obviously, their names are not written in the book of life. And there's cast into the lake of fire. This is Revelations 20 and verse 14. This is the second death. The first death is when you're given a certain trial period. Everybody's given this trial period whom Yahweh calls. If he calls someone to his house, that person is put on trial. If you turn over to Exodus 20, you will see here the Ten Commandments. Here's the Ten Commandments that's written here. And in verse 6, it says, "Teaching love to thousands," that is Yahweh, "teaching love to thousands who love me and keep my laws." If you look down to verse 20, he says, "Moshe said to the people, do not fear, for Yahweh has come to test and prove you." Well, of course, that's what you're here for. He calls you to his house, and you come desiringly to receive eternal life. Well, eternal life, yes, is for the taking. It's a free gift from Yahweh if you qualify. But he's here to test you at his house to see whether you will keep his laws or not. Not whether you will say, "I believe," with a false tongue, but he's here to test you and try you to see if you will keep his commandments or not. "Test and prove you, so that the reverence of Yahweh," the love for Yahweh, "will be with you, so that you do not commit sin." Everyone who's brought to or called to the house of Yahweh is called here for that test. And Yahweh says he gives you space to repent. That is time, a set time period to repent and be converted. The apostle said here in Acts 3 and verse 19, he says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Do you see, unless you're converted to keeping Yahweh's laws, repent of sin. Repent of sin. Don't sin anymore. Start practicing the laws that will bring you health, that will bring you peace and joy. Yes, joy, rejoicing, and love. And start setting your mind to rejoice on Yahweh's Sabbath day and to make the Sabbath a delight. Now, some never do that. They go their way. They want to go to their house, drink a beer or two or six-pack or 12-pack. But they don't practice what Yahweh tells them to do, to make the Sabbath a delight for others. If you do this, you will find joy. I'll read you that in just a moment. But here in Acts 3, we plainly see that unless you repent and are converted to keeping Yahweh's laws, your sins won't be blotted out at all. And you will die in your sins, as Yahshua the Savior said. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and that times of refreshing, that is joy with Yahweh, will come. You're not living in joy. You're not rejoicing in this world. You think lust or fulfilling your lust will bring you joy, but it don't. It just brings you emptiness. And then along with that lust, fulfilling of the lust, of course, is sin and wars and death and sickness and disease. And then when your bodies start showing the sins and showing the sickness and disease, then you're sorry and you want to repent and call for the preacher, and the preacher comes and directs you to heaven. Well, that's the lies they tell you. No, you will die, and then you will awake, you will be resurrected, and that's when you face the judgment or the sentencing that is brought depending on whether you were righteous or whether you were evil or whether you repented of your sins and converted. A picture of that, a scenario, is painted here in Daniel, the 12th chapter, where he shows that the resurrection will take place. And he says in verse 2, 12 and verse 2, he says, many of those who sleep, that is, are dead, in the dust of the earth, will awake, some to everlasting life, but some to shame and everlasting contempt. Revelation says the same thing. He shows that when you're resurrected, when Yahweh resurrects you, then you're going to be sentenced. If you're called now, and if Yahweh has called you to His house, that you will be sentenced one way or another. And you will be, if you haven't lived, if you've refused to live this joyous way of life that Yahweh lays down for you in His laws, then Yahweh shows that the second death awaits you. There's no changing that. You know, you won't be allowed into the new world where there is joy everlasting and no one to disturb it. In the new world, we'll have abundant living, more than you could ever think of right now, with the world filled as it is with sin and suffering. And that's what we're seeing right now, sin and suffering. Let's look at, before we go here to the rest of Hebrews, let's look back here to Isaiah, because Isaiah, the prophet, was inspired to write to you what you must do in keeping the Sabbath, and finding joy, the true joy, not the false joy of sexual misconduct, of fulfilling lust that brings to you, it ruins your mind, it ruins your health, it breaks down your body. And very soon, as Yahweh says to Adam and Eve, don't eat of this mixture, this tree of the mixture of righteousness with evil. Because the day you eat thereof, dying, you will die. Your body starts breaking down the very minute that you partake of sin. Yes, it's that quickly. You may not notice it. You probably won't notice it. And you may not notice it for years. It's like getting syphilis. Syphilis, you don't notice it when you first get it. You may see a little bit of rash on your face or something like that. That will go away. Whether you do anything or not, it'll go away. But it hides in your body. And it comes out when your body starts weakening due to stress or the lack of the proper kinds of food or something like this. Syphilis will come back and attack the members of your body. It may be your eyes. You go blind. It may be the muscles in your body or the bones that they call, then they'll start calling it bone cancer. Or the blood. It may be the blood. And they'll start naming the blood diseases that these sex STDs actually cause. It may be your lungs or your heart. And then you'll go for bypass surgery or artificial heart ticker. These are the dying you will die. Well, here now in Isaiah 58, Yahweh says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure and doing your business and your pleasure on my holy day, and you call the Sabbath, that is, you teach the delightfulness of the Sabbath. Call it. You teach it. You teach it with your actions or with your words. If you do it the way Yahweh says to do it, you will teach this. It means, this word call means to teach. It means to proclaim, to preach, to invite, to publish, and to preach. It means to guard and protect, to serve, to be a servant to them for Yahweh. Be a servant to others for Yahweh. He said, if you will do this, if you will teach this, that it is the delight of Yahweh, the holy day of Yahweh, honorable. It's an honorable day that you can do honorable things towards your brothers and sisters. Unselfish things. Be a servant as the Savior, Yahshua. When he took off his robe, his tallit, he wrapped a towel around himself. On the night that he was arrested, yes, on the very night he was arrested, he wrapped a towel around himself and washed the disciples' feet, being a servant to his disciples. And he said to them, when they were arguing about who would be the greatest, he said, this can't be among you. The greatest is he who learns to be a servant. Yes, the greatest person on earth is that person who brings joy to others. We're all going to be servants in Yahweh's kingdom. True servants to one another. Men and women helping men and women. Being honorable help. Servants to one another. And will honor him if you will honor Yahweh by not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, not seeking, not engaging in idle conversation, then you will find your joy in Yahweh. And I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of Yahweh makes this promise to you. By doing things that will make you joyous, by eating things that will make you healthy, these are the simple laws that Yahweh gives you to guide you to joy, peace, love, true joy, rejoicing with your brothers and sisters at His appointed feast and with Yahweh Himself. Well, that's the way you find true joy. The other way is the way that many people throughout the time of Adam and Eve till now have chosen, and it's shown in Isaiah 59. He says, behold, Yahweh's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your own iniquities have separated you from your father, and your own sins, sin is the breaking of Yahweh's law, 1 John 3:4, your own sins have caused him to hide his face from you, so he will not listen. You want to know why your prayers aren't answered? Read that for yourself. No, the world don't get answered prayers from Yahweh, and Satan don't answer prayers. Satan might deceive you and make you think she's doing something great for you, but she doesn't. Satan hates you, and she's wanting to bring you down and destroy mankind from off the face of the earth. You're cut off from Yahweh. That's the reason he won't hear you when you pray. Number two, you're calling on dead rabbis with the word Lord and God. These titles came from men. They were dead rabbis, rabbis who were honored, appreciated, dead popes. They what was used to be called rabbis are called popes now. And of course, that's where the word Lord comes from. If you want to look up the word rabbi, like in a Bible dictionary, Unger's Bible Dictionary will tell you it's the titles of dead rabbi. It doesn't belong to Yahweh, but that's what they use to replace the Creator's name. Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, Jeremiah 23, the prophet Jeremiah says, "How long will this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies?" These were not the holy prophets of Yahweh. These people worshiped Lord and God. These people destroyed the temple with the help of their army, as shown, prophesied by Daniel. They moved the artifacts to the seven hills of Rome. Titus, look up Titus in history. It will tell you he's the one that sacked Jerusalem, burned the temple, moved the artifacts to Rome, where they still are unless they moved them to another location. All these are facts of history. The deceit of their own minds, verse 27, this is Jeremiah 23, verse 27, who caused my people to forget my name for Lord. Some put the word Baal there. That means Lord. That's where you get the word Lord. That comes from rabbis. The word rabbi, that's what it means. Lord. Well, of course, Isaiah now, in Isaiah 65, you see Halloween. Yes, Halloween. Being one of the traditions that is worshipped, that where the dead rabbis are worshipped. This is Isaiah 65. He says, "Who assemble and spend nights keeping memorials for the dead." This is Isaiah 65, verse 4. "That who assemble and spend the night keeping memorials to the dead." In fact, when the Catholics pray today, they have beads and they have little names with the dead rabbis or dead popes, dead what they call saints. These were dead rabbis, and then later they start calling them popes or fathers. Fathers, which that's the reason the Savior, that was going on when the Savior was here, and he says, "Don't call any man on earth your father," meaning teacher, because you have but one father, and that's the Father in heaven. He says, "Who assemble these people, these priests assemble, spending the night keeping memorials to the dead, who eat swine's flesh." That's one of the things that makes your body sick and unhealthy, the trichna in swine's flesh. I was reading an article the other day. It says it kills more people, that pork kills more people than the wars over in the Middle East, than the automobile accidents, and they named several other things all put together. Well, swine's flesh, the scripture says, and in Leviticus 11, is unclean. He says, don't eat it because it will make you sick. That means they translate it abominable. And you can pass this sickness off to other people even. when you eat swine's flesh, you get these little worms called trichina. They lay eggs in your gut. They bore through the stomach lining. They get into the bloodstream. And they're carried to different parts of your body where they set up home. And of course, after they build up a certain population in that area, they start causing toxins. That's sewage from their waste products that starts building up in a certain area. That may be your lungs, your heart, whatever. Soon your lungs will collapse or your heart will start beating in a funny sort of way, or may just stop, depending on how severe these things are. Many places, many times, they cause cancer or stomach ulcers of different kinds. Well, he says here, they spend nights keeping memorials to the dead. This is what they call Saints' Day, and they pray to these saints. They have a saint for every day, and then they have an All Saint Day where you can worship all the dead rabbis who have ever lived and died. They assemble, keeping nights, keeping memorials to the dead who eat swine's flesh and the broth of abominable things. That sickness is in them, the unclean foods in their vessels, who say, "Stand by yourself. Do not come near to me. I am holier than you." Isaiah 66, proclaiming themselves holy. Isaiah 66 and verse 17 says, "They who sanctify themselves, who purify themselves in the gardens, following after the priest, in the midst of those who eat swine's flesh, which are offered to gods, and the rodent, will be consumed together." Consumed. Remember what he said in Revelation 20? They'll be consumed at the second death, thrown into the lake of fire for what they have done. Many will awake, some to joy and gladness. Many will awake. A time that many will awake who are asleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, everlasting joy, and others to shame and contempt. Well, back to Hebrews now. We read in Isaiah 58, teach that the Sabbath is a delight. Well, of course, the preachers, they teach that the Sabbath is done away with. Satan likes that because she doesn't want them, doesn't want anybody to keep an appointment with Yahweh. And that is your appointment with Yahweh, where you're taught by Yahweh's priest at the house, at his house, the place he chooses to place his name. The place Yahweh chooses to place his name. How do you know where he chooses? The prophecies. That's how you know who the true Savior is. If you look back to Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter, Yahweh shows you here to seek the place. Seek the place. In Deuteronomy 12 and verse 5. He says, seek the habitation of your father. Of your father. That's Father Yahweh. The house of Yahweh. The place which Yahweh your father shall choose out of all your tribes to establish his name. You know where that is? Yahweh shows you where the two witnesses would actually establish the name house of Yahweh in the last days. The two witnesses. They did. They established the house of Yahweh. Yahweh shows you the location, the direction from the original work. Go to Abilene, Israel. Go due west and you'll run right into the house of Yahweh here, just out of Abilene, Texas. Yes, you've just run right into it. Yahweh says in Revelation 7, it's west from the original work. But there's hundreds of scriptures that shows the two witnesses. It shows their names, how they got those names. It shows their authority that Yahweh has given them. It shows the details of their life, the little bitty, minute details of their life. Well, here he says, seek that place. The Savior said the same thing in Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew 6 and verse 33, he says, "But seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and His righteousness." Remember, these people create their own righteousness. The people who eat swine's flesh and say, "Stand by yourself, I'm holier than you," who worship the dead rabbis on Halloween, but they worship them every day. They have beads with their names of these dead rabbis on them that they worship, and they take their prayers to them. They take their prayers from the living to the dead. Ecclesiastes, I believe it's the 9th chapter, that says, "The living know that they will die, but the dead do not know anything." How could they possibly answer your prayer? Well, they can't. But the teaching is that they will intervene for you to keep Yahweh from destroying you in the lake of fire, which is the second death. They can't intervene for you. Yahweh made you for a certain purpose. He made you where you could actually become a part of His family, a part of the teacher of righteous things that bring forth peace and joy and love with never-ending appointments with Yahweh Himself. He made you for that reason. If you don't qualify for that reason in which He made mankind, you won't be around at all. You will be taken totally out of the picture. If you don't qualify while you have the chance to qualify for this position, the reason you were made, He didn't just make you because, this is a pretty nice creature to look at, my little doll. He created man for the purpose of making man in His image and His likeness to rule as He rules. Then He says, "I want to give to him rulership." And those who qualify, those who choose life, yes, choose life everlasting, abundant life, you will have it. But if you don't choose it, if you don't choose abundant life, you will not be given life eternal. You'll be taken out of the picture. That's the purpose for you. And if you don't fulfill that purpose while you have the opportunity, you won't be there. Back to Hebrews 10. "Don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together on the Sabbath days, as Hebrews 4 shows, as many have already. For if we sin willfully," verse 26, "if we practice sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fury and indignation that will devour the adversary." Revelations 20, the great white throne judgment, the second death. Yeshua said, they won't believe. Even though one is risen from the dead, they still won't believe. Don't be among the disbelievers. Believe all that the prophets have spoken and practice those beautiful laws, and you will be given what you were made to receive: authority over the whole universe, all the things that Yahweh's fingers have framed. May Yahweh bless your understanding.